Okay, so we're on Daf Chafet today. So I'll begin on Chaf Zayin and Beis, page 54, just a few lines from the bottom. So we discussed, we said there are a number of types of Nedarim that are dead on arrival. If the person makes them, so they're not, you know, we had Nidrei Zeruzin, where the people motivating each other in the marketplace. Then we had Nidrei Havai, the exaggeration. Then we had not Onsen, Nidre Chicago, where the person, you know, was mistaken. He didn't remember that he had eaten something, and he said, if I ate something today, blah, you know, this will be. Then we had Nidre Onsen, where a person makes a neder, and then through Ones, let's say he says that his friend, he wants the friend to come for dinner, and he says, unless you come for dinner, all my property will be ostrich to you. And everything this looks like it's going well, and then the friend, through no fault of his own, was unable to come to dinner. That was Nidrei Onsen. Okay, so now our Mishnah, the way Rav Leibowitz was saying, this Mishnah could be a continuation of Nidrei Onsen, or it might be something a little bit different than Nidrei Onsen, in a way that I'll explain in 1 second. So let's look at the Mishnah, three lines to the bottom on Chavzayin Mubeis, when Ethan, Nodrim Laharagin Ulacharamin Lamosin, Shehi Truma, Pishena Truma, means, let's say you have a murderer. Now, here's talking about like a Jewish murderer comes into the house and he wants your property. Or a haramim is not a murderer, but a plain thief, but also Jewish. Or a lamosin, he's a tax collector, he's coming to the house. So the person can take a neder, shehi truma, and what the nature of the neder is, we'll see shortly what it's going to be. He's going to say, let's say all the payroll in the world are asked to me if this is not truma. Now, he wants to, even though it's not really truma. In other words, he's taking a lie because he doesn't want the guy to steal his property. So he says it's truma, even though it's not really truma. So that's nothing to worry about with that neder. Now, here, so some of Farshim say it's like continuation of Nidrei Onsen. Some want to say, the way Rav Leibowitz was saying, this is even more because this, you can l'chachila go ahead and say it. In other words, the other cases, if you made the neder, it's dead on arrival. Here it's like you have a green light to go make this type of neder. Now, it's sort of an interesting thing here, that you have, apparently you have somebody who's either a murderer or a thief, and he's not concerned about murder or thievery, but he would be concerned about eating truma, you know, which is, right? In other words, so the way, 1 second, where we, let me see what I can find in here. Let's take a look. Yeah. So let's take a look at the bottom line in the rush. Two lines from the bottom in the rush. He says, Shehi Shel Truma, you have it in the rush, the very bottom line. He says, Shehi Shel Truma, Afakav the Katli the Gazli, even though they murder and they steal, Lo Achli Yisur, they won't eat Yisur. So I thought this is something, I mean, Rav Leibowitz was also mentioning about like this somewhat disparity, but I was thinking, it's like, you know, a lot of people, like people aren't so consistent in their actions, and sometimes a person will be careful about one thing and not careful about something else. I was reminded, remember there was a brush that Rav Lerner gave once. He was talking about there was a strip club in Eretz Israel, and he wanted to get a tudata rabbanut for the kashrut of the kitchen. and it showed that, like, so the people who come there, I guess, wanted to have kosher food, but, you know, they're doing other sorts of entertainment. So I don't know if they give him the tudah. But his point is, you see that people, you know, could be somewhat inconsistent. And I said to Rabbi Packer, the emes is, everybody, okay, please. So I said to Rabbi Packer, who's the Shaul Meshiv in the Beis Medrash, that in a way everybody's like that. In other words, everybody has some things they're not so perfect with, and so there is a certain inconsistency with everyone. And then let's see further in the rush, Inami. Or else, if it's truma, they don't want it because the truma is very cheap. Truma is cheaper than regular food, and so since it's so cheap, they don't attach any significance to it. So that could be another way to go with that. Okay, let's see back in the Mishnah. He says, "Shehi truma af pi sheina truma," or "Shein shel beit hamelech af pi sheina shel beit hamelech," or they're taking the neder that the property belongs to the king. It's the king's property. So okay, please, we need to mute everybody. 1 second, let me find this thing here. 1 second. 1 second. Here we go. Okay, so he says, He says, "Shehin shel beit hamelech, af pi shehin shel beit hamelech." Now, the way, and Rav Leibowitz was mentioning this also, but someone like one derech mafarshim learned that the taking the neder that it's truma, that's if the person who's coming in is like the one of the haragim or the charamim, like the murderer or the thief, and then if it's a moches, the tax collector, so then for him you would see it's shel beit hamelech. Okay, now. The Mishnah mentions, again, this is all like from Rav Leibowitz. He was saying like there's three chilukim now between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai omrim, b'chol nodrin, chutz mi b'shua. So Beit Shammai holds that under these circumstances, you can make any neder, but you can't make a shua. So Beit Hillel omrim, af b'shua. Beit Hillel says you can even take a shua to these people. He says, that's one. Beit Shammai omrim, lo yiftach lo b'neder. Beit Shammai says that the person, like the victim, should not initiate with a neder, Beit Hillel Rim af yiftach lo. Beit Hillel holds, no, they can even come forward and volunteer to make the neder. He says, on the third line, on Mem Chaf Ked Amud Aleph, Beit Shammai Rim b'mashu madiro. So Beit Shammai says that you're only exempt, which the neder that the thief, the murderer, is demanding, Beit Hillel Rim af mashu madiro, even that which he doesn't demand. Now the mission is going to have an example. Ketzad, Amarlo, emor konam ishtin innately. So let's say the murderer or whatever, the thief comes in, he says, I want you to say, if you're saying this is really truma, say konam ishtin innately. You say, like, you're taking neder that your wife won't be able to get any hana from you if this is not truma. He says, ba'amar konam ishtu banayin innately. And he offers, he says, he's making a konam that neither his wife nor his kids can get hana from him. So under those circumstances, Beit Shammai Amrim, Ishta Muteret Banav Asur. Beit Shammai says, look, you only have the head there for the wife. That's what the thief demanded. But as far as the kids are concerned, then you're prohibited. Beit Hillel Amrim, Eilu Beit Mutar. Beit Hillel holds everything is Mutar with that. Okay? Now, one second. Yeah. Now I should mention also there's a piece from the Tosfos has. So if you look at the bottom line in Tosfos, on the previous staff, he says Shahim Shal Truma. So he says Vim Tomar Tina Haragim Macharamim Shigos and Mamon Yitach Tomar Lahem Shahim Shal Truma Lo Yizlu Otam Zeinu Mekavim Kim Lizol Lo Yisura Kim Shinu Rila Chilu Lizarim. So I understand like the murder of the thief. You tell him it's truma, so he doesn't want it anymore. Fine. It says, "Aval mochsin mayahani v'olam yishalamecha." So the tax collector, how does it help if the person says the item is, the item, even if it's the beit hamelech or the item is truma, he takes the item is truma. How does it help him? How does it help the victim? Because the tax collector is going to take something else. V'yish lomar shurigil nikach meches emimochei. That they wouldn't collect the taxes from the people who would give truma to the kohenim or whatever is going on with that. That's why the way Tosfos says it. He's assuming that the truma is also going with the tax collector. Okay, let's see a little Ron on this, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, and then we'll move on. Okay, look at the bottom line in the Ron. A Jewish bandit that kills people. Just a person who steals. And then the top line of Chav Chem and Alep in the Ran puts me b'shua the chamira the chiba lo yinakeh. So according to Beit Shammai, you can't take a shua because shua says lo yinakeh. Lo yiftach lo b'neder imenon nedorli. You shouldn't like offer to make a neder. He says b'mashuhu madiro shfilu patach lo yidor l'mashuhu madiro. In other words, even according to Beit Shammai, even if the bandit is the one who initiates the conversation, you shouldn't give more than what he demands. And Ishtam Matur Ravasurin came to the Rubahem Elamei Lavazar. That was on his own, so he's bound by that. Okay, so who's your questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, so I'm going to move on. Okay, so let's look in the Gemara now. Everybody with me on the sixth line of Chapetam and Aleph. So the Gemara says, Baha'amar Shmuel, Dina Malkut Dina. So the question is, Shmuel states a halacha, din malkut dina, means the law of the country is the law of the land, means the Jews are bound by the law of the country. So when you have the tax collector coming into your house and he's demanding the tax, So how is it that the halakha provides you with an out to avoid paying the tax? Aren't you subject to dina, the balkut to dina? Right. Now, Rav Leibowitz was saying that there are different sources for dina, the balkut to dina. We'll see the Ran shortly. So the Ran takes it that, and Rav Leibowitz was saying, I saw Rabbi Wroblowski, he was saying it's a famous Ran, and Rav Leibowitz was saying he thought it was one of the top three famous Rans. Who said the most famous?
Everybody.
Okay. Who are you listening to who said it was the most famous today? Rabbi Rosner. All right. Okay, it's okay. All right. So one idea the Ran has, which we'll see shortly, is that like the whole land belongs to the king. In other words, the whole country. The whole land belongs to the king. So Mamela, if you're here on the land, so then you're obligated to pay the king for the right to use land and things like that. That's one way to do it. Then Rav Leibowitz was saying that the Rashbam in Baba Batra says that if people come to live in a certain place, so then by consensus they're like submitting themselves to the law of the land. That would be another source for it. Then another source, he quoted, he thought it was from the Devar Avram, says that that we know there are seven mitzvot b'nei Noach, and one of the mitzvot b'nei Noach is dinim. Yeah, so he was saying that the dinim, in other words, so if the goyim are obligated to establish, he's assuming they're obligated to establish like reasonable laws, you know, in the country, so how could it be that they have this obligation to seven mitzvot b'nei Noach and we're not observing these laws? Okay, so the bottom line is, though, so Shmuel says, and Rav Leibowitz says it's always Shmuel who says this in Shas, but it's a law that, you know, could precede Shmuel, you know, saying. So how is it that, you know, the halakha here is aiding and abetting somebody to evade his, like, legal responsibility to pay taxes? So Amrav Chanan Amrav Kahana Mar Shmuel, the Moche Shein Lo Kitva. So we say, we're talking about a tax collector that is collecting more tax than we would normally expect him to do. Let's see what the Rush has to say on this. He says, one second. Yeah. So if you look at the Rush, it's on the medium wide lines, the second medium wide line. But Moche Shein Lo Kitzva, Bahailab Dina Hu, the Dafka Bidabar Shu Shavloko Banayam Dina Yeshu Shutlaha Kon Lasod.
So the first pshat that the Rush has, it means like this. Zman Chazal, the way that the Rishonim are referring to it, is a person would like buy the franchise to collect taxes. Let's say the king, he wants a certain like $5 million from this region. So somebody, you know, bids, here, I'll give you whatever, $4 million, and then you get the right to collect the taxes, and you keep the taxes. That's the way it goes. So this tax collector, wait, you have that or you don't have that, Josh? In other words, I'm the king. Everybody, I don't want to bother with taxes. I want my money up front. So I say to you, you know, if you want, how about you give me, you, Josh, you'll give me $3 million and I give you the right to collect taxes and great. Okay. And then I don't want to hear anything about it. Okay. So that's the way we're going to do this. But you may collect $4 million or whatever, and that's how you make your profit. So this tax collector isn't evenly dividing the taxes. He's collecting much more from some people, much less from other people. So that's like what he says, like Moche Shein Lo Kitzva. Or let's look further in the Rush. He says Inami Kima Shein Lo Kitzva Marbeli Kach Yotir Mashamel Chafetz Pusakulu Gezel. Or he's even collecting more than the king has authorized. In other words, the king authorized him to collect whatever $3 or $4 million in taxes. He's collecting $5 or $6 million. So it's Ein Lo Kitzva. So this guy, he's going overboard with this. So here, with this type of tax collector, which is like an inequitable tax collector, so then I could evade the taxes because it's inequitable. All right. Now, then I also saw a pshat that he said that the king, which I guess is similar to that, the king might have like lowered the tax rate, and he's like still giving a higher tax rate to everybody. So that's in the pshat. So anyway, so back in the Gemara. So the first pshat is, the Shmuel says, Moche Shein Lo Kitzva. This tax collector is running amok. He's collecting taxes left and right. So that person, I could try to evade the taxes. He says, the Bei Rabbi Yanai Amar, the Mokes Homei Meilav. So the Beis Medrash Rabbi Yanai, they said, it's Mokes Homei Meilav. It's like he's not even the authorized tax collector. He's like a self-appointed tax collector. He's collecting taxes. So this guy, I definitely don't want to give the money to. All right. Now, let's take a look at the Ran, and then we'll pause in a few minutes, okay? So look at the Ran on the fourth wide line of the Ran, left-hand column. Gemara of Amar Shmuel, Dina de Bachut Dina, Behechi Shirin Lameidar Hachi, Kedeli Hipater. In other words, how do we give a green light to take a false netter, get out of paying the taxes? Since al pi halacha, the person is obligated to pay the taxes. So he says, the mechas shein lo kitzba, the kevan shekein lav dinahu. Since it's he doesn't give the shot that we gave, but the person's collecting more in a very unfair fashion, so it's not din ella chamsanuta. So it's just thievery. Thievery is not a din. Okay, b'moches homei me'elav, shelo b'mitzvah ha'melech, and not with the command of the king. Now, b'katu b'tosfo, and this is what I think you were referring to, Michael, the 10th narrow line, b'katu b'tosfo, t'dafke b'malchei obdei kokavim, amar dina malchut dina. It's only by a non-Jewish king do we say dina de malchut dina. The law on land is the law. He says, m'dei sha'aret shelo. The land all belongs to him. He says, listen, you don't follow my rules, out. You know, in other words, you hear about my leave, I don't like you, out. So, dina machut dina. Abobamalche Yisrael, lo. But, Liyatsur would be a Jewish king, we wouldn't say dina machut dina, that's what the Ran is saying. Lefisha Eretz Yisrael, Kweisel Shutvimba. Because Eretz Yisrael, all the Jews are like equal partners there. In other words, it's not that, you know, the king owns the land and we're here by leave of the king. It's Eretz Yisrael. It belongs to every Jew. So I have a right to be here in Eretz Yisrael. So, before I go on to this, so some theoretically would argue based on this Ran that they don't have to, you know, pay taxes in Eretz Yisrael, because we don't see Dina Malchut Dina. Now, the only thing Rav Leibowitz was saying that, you know, it's not exactly the same, because in other words, like you could say, like the Gemara is talking about the taxes are coming, like the king, he wants to build a mansion, he wants to do other things. Here, they're still collecting the taxes, they want to build roads, you know, they're helping everybody out with the taxes.
It's democracy.
It's democracy also, right. Well, that's a separate line of argument, which you could even argue here in Chutz La'aretz with this democracy business. In other words, let me pause for a second. Okay, so that's one line of thinking, you know, that could theoretically go. Wow, he said that that the halacha is though that we don't say like this Ran. In other words, this Ran is not halacha Shulchan Aruch. And secondly, I mentioned about the tax money is really going for everybody's benefits, not like for, you know, like to people to live a cushy lives. So let me go back further in the Gemara. This is Lafisha Eretz Yisrael Kruva. When we say Dina Machut Dina, Hani Mila Inin Shin Kanachad Mechazeh, Tavimli Tan Lord Mechaz. In other words, a person purchased like the franchise, right? Taxes, you have to give them the tax. Bachinami Lo Kanawato, El Shu Mamun Lagaboda Mechaz, or he was appointed by the king for whatever reason to collect the taxes. Shainu Rashi Yisrael Kabiro, the Shabbat Shahin Truma. Leka onsa came in dina malchut dina. In other words, I can't falsely take a shua that it's truma. He says since dina de malchut dina. In other words, shena rashi yisrael chavi roli shvashin truma. Leka onsa came in dina malchut dina. One second. Give me 1 second. Yeah, so he means like this. On the Gemara says that he can get out of it if it's moche shein lo kitzva, if it's a tax, you know, it's like an illegal, like excessive tax, the guy is going haywire with it, or moche shomei me'la. But barring that, inachinami, you'd have to be honest in what you're saying. All right, now one second. You know, this is Rabbi Roblowski. He's also one of the Rosh Yeshiva Magid, one of the Rosh Yeshiva YU. He was saying that Rabbi Bleich, I was there for part of this chabur when Rabbi Bleich spoke about this. Rabbi Bleich said that he went to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he was arguing to him that here in America, what was he arguing? He was saying that here in America, that we shouldn't say dina malkuta dina. In other words, he was saying that, in other words, dina malkuta dina is because you have a king, and the king lets you stay in the kingdom. That's why dina de malkuta dina. So here in America, that's not the way it's working out. In other words, that's not the way it is here in America. So he wanted to have a line of argument that, you know, that we shouldn't even say dina de malkuta dina here with this. And he said, Rabbi Yaakov, he said, I think he didn't go along with that line of argument. And then, I guess that's it. I guess that's it for this. Okay, who's a question comes to us that anything we can support? What's up?
So, if you're living under a Jewish king, then
you mean, well, the way the Ron sheet says. The Ron is saying, if it's in Eretz Yisrael, that's the key in the Ron. In other words, you're living in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a Jewish king, and that's what he's talking about. So then, you have an absolute right as a Jew to be in Eretz Yisrael, so he can't, you know, tax you for living in the country. You have an absolute right to be there. That's the idea. All right, any other questions?
Would it be a big chilul Hashem?
Let's say again, which?
Would be, you don't follow Dina Malchusa Dina.
Yeah, so that's what we were saying, that that's what the Gemara is asking, is since Dina de Malchuta Dina, how could the Gemara say that you could take a false netter? So the Gemara says, we're talking about where the taxing authority was, by the way, I really forgot, let me just close one second. Tonight's Daf Yomi, tonight's Daf Yomi is sponsored by Effie Weinblatt on the occasion of his father's Yahrzeit. That's Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim Zichron LeBracha. So learning tonight is Lulu Nisham of Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim Zichron LeBracha. Okay.
No, I mean in America. That he says he shouldn't have to worry about it in America. Would it be huge Chul Hashem?
Right. Well, Rabbi Roblowski was saying, if it's going to be something like that, then obviously you have to take that into account. But I think
Rabbi... That's only to get caught, right?
Rabbi? Oh, if only get caught? Otherwise you're allowed
to? No. Well... In other words, let's assume it's like a theoretical line of argument. So Rabbi Bleich was arguing that Dina de Malchuta Dina, should not apply here in America. Now, if it's going to lead to Chil Hashem, obviously, then that's something else, and then you want to avoid that. But the first thing is to establish, is there an application of Dina de Malchuta Dina or not? In other words, first you want to say, what are the rights and remedies of all the parties? What's on the table? In other words, so Chil Hashem... is that's consideration, clearly. But is there a din of Dina de Malchuta Dina or not? That's the first you saw.
But if you're not caught, you're not over in anything, are we saying?
So, well, in other words, so if you say there's no din of Dina de Malchuta Dina, so then we can address the issue, is there a problem of Chil Hashem? What's going to be with the, getting caught and things like that? But each one has to be dealt with separately. Each one dealt with separately. Okay. All right, so... All right, so I'm going to move on unless there's any more questions, comments, or thoughts. Okay, now let's see back on the Gemara. And again, I'm just repeating. Rav Schachter says that the halakha is not like this Ron, not like the Ron. So, and then Rav Leibowitz was saying, and I think he was quoting from Rav Schachter, that even with the Ron, like our money isn't going to a monarch who's building a cushy castle, it's going for like the public welfare. So it's a different halakhot. Okay. So let's see back in the Gemara. So we answered the question how he could make this neder, which is a false neder, to avoid paying the taxes. Now, change shall be the melech, afa pishin shall be the melech. The Gemara says that a person could take a neder that the property belongs to the king, even though it doesn't belong to the king. He's got the tax collector coming, whatever. He says, beit melech. So the Gemara says, Hechi Nader, what exactly would be the formulation of the neder that the person would take? The Mishnah just, refers to it briefly, but doesn't tell us the whole thing. So Amar, Rav Amram Amarav, Omer, Yeshu Perot Olam Alai Minan Shabbat Amelach, that the person says, let the Perot Olam, that the produce of the world be prohibited to me if these are not the Beit HaMelech, if it's not the king's property, and it's not the king's property, but he's saying it falsely to avoid paying the tax. Now, if he would say lashon like this, that all the Perot of the world are prohibited on him, that's not enforceable. We learned that a person can never ask for all the Perot of the world, but he would mean that some of the Perot or whatever. So the Gemara asks, came with the Gemara, yes, true, it's rulu kol Perei Alma. But once he says this, now all the Perot of the world be prohibited on him. Now, we'll talk shortly in a minute, but the Gemara is entertaining the possibility that the neder could be chal. So the Gemara says, ba'omer hayom. So the Gemara says, the person says that all the Perot of the world, or the Perot, we prohibit me today, in other words, for 24 hours. Idamar hayom l'mekal mine moches. If he says 24 hours, tax collector's on to that. that doesn't cut too much with the tax collector. So ba'omer belibo, no, the person in his heart will say, hayom. In other words, he'll be thinking to himself, this is the way it is for today. He says, umotzi b'sfat habstam, but he's going to utter with his lips, just the payroll will be prohibited to him. The afalgab d'sfirlan d'varim shavlev ena d'varim, and even though we have a cloud, that which you think doesn't, you know, the fact that you were thinking something doesn't mean anything, the gabi own sin shani. With onus, it's a little different than this. Now, the difficulty with this Gemara is, and we'll talk a little bit in the round in a second, so what Mefarshim asks is like this, by the Nidre Ziruzin, so there we said that it was, you know, dead on arrival. In other words, a person takes a netter in the marketplace and he says, you know, he's making a netter that, you know, things will be prohibited to me if I, or the money will be prohibited to me if I accept any less than 4 zuzim. And then the buyer says, you know, the item that I'm buying will be prohibited to me if I pay more than 2. So there we say it's a zero. We're done with it, zero. Yet here with this netter, when the person says, let the payroll of the world, the payroll be prohibited to me. So the Gemara is saying that it will be somewhat efficacious. In other words, he's thinking for today, so it'll be effective. Lachor, that's the way the Gemara is saying with this. So the we're gonna believe him that it's today based on the circumstances, even though normally Dabar Mishbalev Einam Dabarim, but we're giving a little force and effect to this. So why is that in the one case yes, one case no? That's a question that Achronim asked. So I saw Rabbi Roblowski today. I was showing him in the Masifta. So he was quoting from the Shari Yosher. So the Shari Yosher says like this, that in both cases, that the person doesn't mean exactly what he's saying in the circumstances. But with the Nidre Ziruzin, it's like we know, like, he doesn't even mean a netter. In other words, like, that's just the way they talk. In other words, like, Rabbi Roblowski was saying, like, the person says, you know, he swears this, he swears this, and he's nothing after a while. You know, like zero. Here, the person means a neder, but he, you know, he doesn't want it to be enforceable. So that's why this is a little bit more enforceable than the other one. Okay, let's just take a look now at the Ran, and let's take a look. So if you look at the Ran, around the 20th narrow line of the Ran, the midway down the narrow column, is Heki Nadar. So what's the formula that he says when he makes his neder? Lishna the Banitin Kashale. So the Ran says, like, the Gemara is bothered by the language of the Mishnah. The Kamar Nodrim Shehin Truma. The plain language is, takes a neder that it's Truma. The Heki Shaykh Nidra Bahai Lishna. How's a neder Shaykh like that? Kolomar Ida Amar Yeshu Pirulam Alai Liolam Ein Devar Mshulei Mavatlin Moshi Sibafiv Afilu Gabi Onsa Kihai. In other words, if he says Mafurash, that the payroll of the world will be prohibited to me forever, perpetuity. So even though in his heart he's thinking something else, but he's stuck with that. With the language of some furash, and he says forever, he's gahak to service. Ella, the hakastama kamar. Here, the person leaves it like open, he's blank. He says, he has 2 payroll of the line, he just says that they'll be prohibited to me. We need the stam of the olam ashma, even though normally stam, I would normally construe it as being forever, because he just says the payroll will be prohibited to me. That's only when there's not an onus involved. Here's an onus. He says, Mishum Ditzvei Mashmo Leolam Mibe Hayom, because it's more likely that he meant forever than today, all things being equal. But we have an onus involved. Here you got the tax collector coming in. So the onus helps us interpret his words, Dayom Ka'amar, that he just means today. Kimin shtol mar befeirish behepas. It didn't say the opposite. Umihum nihin dahacham askinan dibalav onsa liolam ashma. So here, even though we conclude that left to my own devices, under normal circumstances, if a person makes an open neder without giving a time, it means forever. Kimin the stamaka amar. And if he, even though he says in his heart, he meant today, it doesn't help. He says a different case. If a person decided he's going to take a neder that wheat bread or bread made out of wheat is prohibited to him, and he just says bread. We're not going to say he's prohibited on all breads. Here, he's using a language that means forever, and under the circumstances, we darshan it differently. He says over there, he meant just to prohibit himself on wheat bread. El debata damar pat if kill me lule, he got caught in his language. So somehow he wants to say the case of the bread is different than here. Here he wants to assume that if you make an open-ended neder, it means forever. And unless under these circumstances, he says muchach that he didn't mean forever because of the onus. He says by the pat chitim, he says we're not going to assume that the person meant all bread. That's all I can say with this. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, let's move on. Now, all right, so we're midway down the column on Chav Chet Amar Aleph. Okay. Beit Shamarim B'chol Chulei, Beit Shamarim B'mashu Madiro, Beit Shamarim B'af B'sheino Madiro. So we've said in the Mishnah that there are three machlokot between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. So Beit Shammai says, B'chol Nodrim, it's B'shua, that you can make a neder about everything, but you can't make a shvuah. And Hillel says, you even have a green light to make a shvuah to avoid the taxes, to avoid the thief. Then Beit Shammai says, you shouldn't initiate offering to do this neder. And Beit Hillel says, no, you could even initiate it. And Beit Shammai says, b'mashu madiro, it's only that which he demands you're exempt from. Beit Hillel says, you can throw an extra. He says, v'dol mrim ha'afishin ha'madiro. Ketzad amar lo konam ishtin innately. Let's say the person says, the thief says to him, I want you to take a neder that your wife can't get hana from you if it's not truma. But Amar Kun Ishti Baraynanili, he says, my wife and my kids. Beshamar Ishta Muterva Surin. Beshami says, for the kids, he's on the hook for that. Everything's mutar. Please, can you turn it off? I can't take it. Okay, now Amar Rav Huna Tana, Atana taught Nebraisa, Beshami Rim, Lo Yiftach Lo Beshua. So Nebraisa, Beit Shammai says that a person shouldn't initiate with a shvua. Beit Hillel says he can even open up with a shvua. So the Gemara says that has kashas, the stira between our Mishnah and this brisa. The Beit Shammai, the shvua who lo yiftach lo, habenedar yiftach lo. So from the brisa, it sounds like that he shouldn't initiate a shvua, but a neder he could initiate. From the brisa, it sounds that all Beit Shammai is saying, don't offer to make a shua, but a neder you could offer to make, even though the thief or tax collector hasn't said anything. That's the way it sounds like Beit Shammai. He says, v'hatanan, but the Mishnah we learned, Beit Shammai rim lo yiftach lo b'neder. In the Mishnah, Beit Shammai says he shouldn't even initiate a neder. That's the stira between what Beit Shammai says. Does Beit Shammai hold that that you can't even initiate a neder, and certainly not a shua, or just a shua is a problem? And then, but two, another problem we have, miftach hu lo yiftach lo b'shua. He says that he shouldn't initiate with a shua, according to Beit Shammai, a meidar nadar b'shua. He says, but he could ultimately take the shua. In other words, he shouldn't initiate an offer to take shua, according to the Braisa. But if the guy demands the shua, it sounds like he could. But the Mishnah, Beit Shammai says, Nefurish, you can't take the Shua. So now the Gemara is going to reconcile the Mishnah with the Braisa we just did. So Tana Matnitim Beneder. So the Gemara wants to say like this. Beit Shammai Sheet is what we learned in the Mishnah. Beit Shammai holds that you're not allowed to take a shvua in these circumstances. And Beit Shammai holds that you shouldn't offer to take a neder. That's the way Beit Shammai holds. As far as the stira, apparent stira between the Brisa and the Mishnah, he says back in the Gemara, Tana Matnitim Beneder Lodiyas HaKokan to Beit Shammai. So in the Mishnah teaches me the din by the neder to teach me the stringency of Beit Shammai. In other words, that Beit Shammai holds that that lo yiftach lo beneder. In other words, even a neder he can't even offer to do. That's the stringency. He says Tana Brisa b'shua, but in the Brisa he mentions the shua lo diyachak kochan de Beit Hillel. In other words, he's teaching me the leniency of Beit Hillel, that according to, in other words, that just Dafka Beit Shammai says, lo yiftach lo b'shua, that he shouldn't offer to do a shua, but Beit Hillel may not yiftach lo b'shua, that according to Beit Hillel, he can even offer to do the shua. So the Brisa is really teaching me, not the first line of the Brisa, which the Brisa is really teaching me, the second line of the Brisa is what the Chiddush is, that according to Beit Hillel, that af yiftach lo b'shua, I can initiate and tell the thief, tax collector, you know, I'm willing to take a shvua that, you know, it's the king's. I'm doing whatever. I'm willing to take a shvua that it's truma. He says, and in addition to which, so we had two steers, right? One was about being poteach, and what was the other one? He says, and then lobeshvua a meder nadar beshvua, right? So the Beit Shammai Omrim b'shua, right? So it sounded from the Braista that he if he did take shvua, he's vacated. But Beit Shammai says that you're not allowed to take the shvua b'chol. So the key is that the Braista is really teaching me the kulas of Beit Shammai, the kulas of Beis Hillel, and the Mishnah is teaching me the chumra of Beit Shammai. That's the way this is going. So the Mishnah is teaching me the chumra of Beit Shammai. Now, Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned like this. And I think Moses said has this here. One second. Yeah. So if you look at the Rush, around the fifth, sixth line of the Rush, he says there were two, four, six, and seventh line. Bafagav dekoach hetira adif. So why? In other words, it's coming out in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is teaching me the stringency of Beit Shammai. So I have one tonight, you know, statement of Tanaim, which is teaching me the stringency of Beit Shammai. That's the Mishnah. Another statement of Tanaim, the Brisa, which is teaching me the leniency of Beit Hillel, or emphasizing one or the other. So normally we say Koach Deter Adif, that the Tana would rather teach me the Heter rather than the Chumra. So how would it happen in the Mishnah? Why is the Tana and the Mishnah teaching me the Chumra of Beit Shammai? Tana is teaching me the Chumra of Beit Hillel. He says, "Abraitik samich tashminu ba'koach datera." So it means the Tana of the Mishnah knows about the Brisa, and according to the Rush, and the Tana was relying that the kulas you're going to learn in the Brisa, fine, so I don't have to teach that. So here's the Mishnah. All right, now let me do one more answer in the Gemara, and then we'll be on our way. So back in the Gemara. So again, we had the stira between the Mishnah and the Brisa. Ravashi amar hachi tani. Ravashi says this is the way we should understand the Brisa, that we misunderstood the Brisa totally. We thought the Brisa was talking about our thing with the thief, with the tax collector, the whole thing. And when it said, Beit Shammai lo yiftach lo b'shua, he's talking about offering to make the shua. So Rav Ashi says, no, that's not the pshat at all. Rav Ashi mor hachitan, Beit Shammai rim in she'ela b'shua, we'll rim yesh she'ela b'shua. That when it says, lo yiftach lo, where's the Brisa? It says, lo yiftach lo b'shua, and we'll rim af yiftach lo b'shua, it's not talking about, you know, the tax collector or the thief or anything like that. It's talking about something totally different. The person is coming to Beis Din and he wants his shavua vacated. Nothing to do with the case we were discussing. In other words, when he's talking about yiftach to mean to offer to make the net of the shu in our case, but yiftach can mean you come to a Beis Din for hatar sadar martar shavua and the Beis Din finds a petach for you, a way to vacate the netter. So according to Ravashi, Beit Shammai rim ain't she'ela b'shua. So Beit Shammai is saying lo yiftach lo b'shua, that when it comes to shuas, there is no she'ela. There is no way of vacating the shua. And Beit Hillel says af yiftach lo b'shua. There is a way to vacate the shua. Now
One second. Let's look at the. One second. Yeah, so the way Rav Leibowitz was mentioning was that everybody agrees on a Doraisa level, there is a Sheila B'Shua. In other words, like we thought, Lo Yachel Devaro. Remember, we had the Limud that Lo Yachel, if a person makes the Neder or Shua, Lo Yachel Devaro, he shouldn't make his words profane. But Chazal teaches about Achim Mochlin Lo. Other people could make it profane. The Bezdin could vacate it. There's no question that a Bezdin on a Doraisa level could vacate a Neder or could vacate a Shua. So, the question is, the way he was saying it was, if the Beis Din did vacate it, what's the effect? If the Beis Din went ahead and was vacated the Shua, would it be effective or not? So according to Beit Shammai, not on a Drabbanan level, and according to Beit Hillel, would be effective on a Drabbanan level, right? Okay, so I think that's it for now. Okay, so any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody happy? All right, let me see what I have here. All right, let me hold this. Let me finish the daf, and then if we have time, we'll do a little bit of this, okay? All right, let's see further in the corner. Okay, so we're four lines from the bottom on the next Mishnah. So let me see if anybody here is... Right. So Manitin, now this Mishnah, it's hard to understand what the connection with this Mishnah is with what came before. So Rav Leibowitz was saying someone would say it's like Nidrei Chicago, someone would say like Nidrei Onsen, but it's different. So Manitin, Harein Antilra Elu Korban, Amin Onixatot. So we don't know what this Mishnah means, but based on the Matzah of the Gemara and the way Rav Kati was explaining it, he's saying like this person, he has saplings, he has trees, and there's a storm coming, a big storm is expected. So he says, he says, if these trees are not uprooted, I'm offering them as a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning the value of the trees will be sold, and then with the money, he'll buy korban. Or he said, there's a fire raging, and he thinks that his talis is going to get burnt, whatever. And talis could be like a garment. And he says, Talazu Korban, he made an Israfa. He says, like, this talis, if it doesn't get burned, you know, it's going to be a Korban. In other words, he'll be poted. He says, so Yesh Lahen Pidyon. So the Tana of the Mishnah says, in both instances, they have a Pidyon, meaning that if they survive, so he'll be poted it, and then the money he'll use to go to the base of Mekdesh. So the way Rav Leibowitz was saying, he was saying it for a korban. Let me just take a look here. What he says here. Give me 1 second. Let me make sure. Give me 1 second. Yeah. Okay. So we're using for a korban. Okay. Let's see further in the Mishnah. He says, "Harein netilut elu korban ad shekatz tu." Now he says a different matter. He says these saplings are a korban up until the time that they're cut. Talazu korban ashtisare. This talus is a korban until it gets burnt. Ein lahem pidyon. So here the Gemara is going to explain that if he attempts to redeem it before they're cut, if he attempts to redeem it before it's burned, so he can redeem it, but then the kedusha jumps back to it right away because he says this is kadosh up until the time it's cut down. This is kadosh up until the time it's burned. So he redeems it, but now it has to be redeemed again and again and again. And then once, and so ein lahem pidyon means that the pidyon won't be effective because you'll have to keep doing pidyon after pidyon after pidyon. All right, so now let's do the first line in the Gemara and keep going. Now the Gemara says, "Belitni kedoshot ve'ein kedoshot." Why does the Tana have the expression yesh lahem pidyon or ein lahem pidyon? Why doesn't he say that they're kedoshot or ein kedoshot? So the Gemara says, "I need to buy the mitnah seifa ein lahem pidyon tananami resha yesh lahem pidyon." Now, in the seifa case, he has to say ein lahem pidyon. In other words, he can't say ein lahem kedusha because they do have kedusha. They do have kedusha, so he can't say that. So he has to say ein lahem pidyon.
pinyon is not effective because once he redeems it, he has to keep redeeming it. So therefore, in the Reisha, he says, Yesh lahem pinyon, he can redeem it, and gamarnu. Now, the Gemara says on line 3, Heichi nadar, what exactly is the formula that he takes? What nadar are we talking about? Again, the mission is very skimpy with these things. So Heichi nadar, Amar Meimar, Ba'omer, Im Eina Nixatsora Yom, Biavar Hayom Unikatsitsu. He says, now the Gemara doesn't know the pshat that I just said to you already, that it's like facing the storm. He says, if they're not cut down today, and the day passed and they weren't cut down, so then he's saying that they're a korban, they're offering to Hashem. He says, "Im kein lamali the meimar pshita." That's too simple. Why do I need the Talmud to teach me that? He says, "This tree is kadosh if it's not cut down today, and then it's not cut down today. It's, of course, it's kadosh." Yeah. So lo tsricha going to ikazika nefisha. No, the case is that there's this big storm that's coming, and he Baklal thinks the storm is going to take down these trees. This tree is not long to you know, for the ground. It's going to be disappearing. So he's thinking. So I would think that, you know, his intent is really not to declare it kadosh. In other words, he's saying it's kadosh if it's not exato, if it doesn't get chopped down. But it's like, you know, Hurricane Camille is coming or whatever. You know, so he's thinking that, you know, the street's not going to be around. That's the case. He says, so the Gemara says, Vaha katani la gabe talit, but the Gemara says, but the Tana also teaches this case with the talis. The talis reifa kaima. So what is a talit waiting to be burnt down? And he says, in, going to Ikad Leka, there's a fire in the neighborhood. Hakanami dika zika and a piece of the strong wind. Vistakadait kamina, Vistakadaitach, the masikadaita, lo mitnatslan. So I might have thought that in his mind, he thinks, this tree, this talus, this tree is not surviving the storm. The talus is not surviving the fire. That's why he's making the neder. So maybe the neder shouldn't even be chal kamashvalan. Teaching me that no, that it would, you know, what on a person, you know, could think that it would, and therefore it is chal. So one second. Let's look at the Rashi / Mefaresh on the first wide line downstairs. You have it. Shemana shevet ruach kasheba olam. Demasikadaite demitbar luzika. In other words, he's thinking the wind is going to break the tree. That's sasot. Besakadaychamina lo gamar b'livola hakdisho. In other words, he never thought in his heart to really be makdish the tree. Eladaite demitbar luzika amar hachi. He says he's just thinking that the wind is going to break it down. Lotzrichi pidyon. So it doesn't require a pidyon. In other words, even if they survive the storm, I would think there's no kedusha. He never intended that there should have any kedusha. Kama shalom, dechal kedusha layu, lehekdish gemor mekabi. No, he did have that kavana. And the same thing with the talis. Same thing with the talis. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right. Let's do a few more lines, then I'll talk a little bit more, and that'll be it. Now, we're five lines from the bottom on page 56 on Chav Chen Amud Beis. Okay, Harei Netilo Korban L'chulei. Now he says that these Netiot are Korban in Eina Nixatzot if they survive the storm. So the Gemara says Uleolam. He says now he's focusing. I'm sorry on the last case of the Mishnah. We said in the last case was that. He says the tilu korban adhikatsu. This last case is he says they are a korban till they're uprooted. It is a korban until it's burned. So ein lahem pidyon. So the Gemara says ula olam they never have a pidyon ever. Amarapada pidaan chozrot bekodshot. Or he has in the Bach. Where's the Bach? He says pidaan chozrot ukdoshot. Pidaan chozrot ukdoshot. In other words, if he's poda it. In other words, they have kedusha up until the time the storm, you know, cuts them down. So if he's poda it, but then the kedusha clings to it right away because he says they're kadosh. He's the owner of the tree. He says this tree has kedusha till it nixatso. So if he's poda it, then the kedusha jumps back in. Poda jumps back in. And the same thing with the talis. He says pidaan chozot ukdosho, pidaan chozot ukdosho ad shikatsu nikatsu. Once they're chopped down or they're blown away, he redeems it once in Gamarnu. The Ula Amar, According to Ulam, once they're cut down, he says that he can't be poted anymore. He says, one second. Right. So according to Ula, the Kedusha disappears on its own. There's no need to redeem them because he says they're only Kedusha up until the time that they're felled. Okay? All right, let me do a little sheet here and then that will be it for today. Okay, now the Gemara indicates that under normal circumstances, there's a discrepancy with what a person says and what he was thinking. His spoken word will decide matters halacha. In other words, Devarim Shebalev Einam Devarim, normally, where it's Muchach Milta, where it's obvious from the circumstances that it's not the way he's speaking, that's something different. But generally speaking, we give credence to the statement, and that's what he was thinking. Therefore, if a seller sold something for a particular reason, is this important, Michael?
I don't know. So I'm just checking.
All right. Therefore, if a seller sold something for a particular reason, because he was moving to Israel, he needed cash, he didn't express that the sale was conditional on being able to follow through with his plans, the sale is final. In other words, let's say he sells his house, he sells the land, everything, and he doesn't, but he's planning to go to Eretz Yisrael. And then the plans fall through, and he didn't say, I'm selling this because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, so tough luck, too bad. So he says, the reason is that although in his mind he was selling the object conditionally, since he never expressed that intent verbally, the conditional aspect of the deal is ignored. Shulchan Aruch rules that if a person accepted upon himself a certain number of fasts in response to an ongoing tragedy that subsequently passed, or for a patient who was ill, who recovered, or passed away, he must nonetheless fulfill his initial commitment. In other words, let's say there's an eight sara, and the person says he's going to fast 10 fasts. And then, like three fasts downrange, the circumstances improve. Or he says he's going to fast 10 days for Plony, who is ill in the hospital. And then after three fasts, Plony gets better or Plony dies. So Shukran says he still has to complete those fasts. The Mishnah Berurah explains that since when he initially made the commitment, he did not express any sort of condition, the assumption is that he made the commitment to make his prayers more effective, and we do not assume the commitment was made conditionally. This ruling was utilized by Tshuva's Kinei Bosem, who addressed the following inquiry. A man once pledged to give, at the end of the summer, $1,000 to Kolel for the sake of his mother-in-law, who was ill. Before the pledge came due, his mother-in-law passed away, and the question was whether he must still follow through on his commitment. Tshuva's Kinei Bosem ruled that since he never put a condition on his pledge, the assumption in this type of case is that it was unconditional, and thus he must pay the $1,000 to the kolel. Similarly, the Shuvas Riva addressed the case of a wealthy man who gave instructions to distribute large sums of money to the poor while his brother was ill, and before all the money was distributed, the brother passed away. Shuvas Riva ruled that the rest of the money should be distributed, and the benefactor is not believed to claim that his commitment was conditional because the principle, Devarim Shebalev, Einam Devarim. All right, now, all right, one second. Let me just a little piece here, and then this will be it. Today's chapter. Okay, let me do a little bit about Dina de Malchut Dina. We did a little bit of this before. We said the law of the land is halakhically binding. Now, another case, application of Shmuel's halakha, is if the government confiscates Reuven's property for failure to pay his taxes and sells it to Shimon. Upon discovering the property originally belonged to Reuven, Shimon is not obligated to return it, since the halakha recognizes the government's power to levy taxes and enforce the laws. In other words, Reuven was delinquent in his taxes. The non-Jewish government seized the Green Acre from Reuven. The non-Jewish government sold Green Acre to Shimon, and both Reuven and Shimon are from Jews. So is there any obligation on Shimon to return land to Reuven? And the answer is no, because Dina de Malchut Dina, and Shimon now has clear title to Green Acre. He says the Ran, we did this Ran, cites Tosos, says Dina de Malchut Dina applies only to a Gentile king who owns all the land of his kingdom. However, a Jewish king in Israel who does not own the land, since it was distributed among the tribes, not empowered to levy taxes at will. Rashbam in Baba Batra explains the law of the land is halakhically binding because the citizens of the land, when appointing a ruler, collectively agree to empower their leader with the authority to levy taxes and enforce customary civil laws. I mentioned that before, where from Rabbi Leibowitz. Accordingly, this power is limited to taxes and laws which kings customarily impose on their kingdom, but it does not recognize the king's right to confiscate property without cause, nor does it recognize the authority of an autocrat who is not democratically appointed and rules against the will of the people. Rambam comments that if a king confiscated one's land for a minor crime, such as because he angered the king, confiscation has a lot of validity because it is an accepted practice for a king to sometimes deal strictly with those who commit minor infractions. Ramban maintains that Dina Malkut Dina applies laws and statutes that were practiced by previous generations. However, Dina Malkut Dina does not apply if a king changes the conventional laws and enacts new measures. Okay.
What about Pidyon Shvuyim? Does Pidyon Shvuyim apply?
What about Pidyon Shvuyim, say again?
Would that apply? You know, in the Goyish country, if a Jew is arrested and in jail, you have a mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim.
You know, you definitely have a mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim. There's no question about that.
But he's legitimate, but he violated the law. And he's
in jail. You mean that he was violated? In other words, he was improperly arrested. In other words, not an innocent guy who's grabbed by the
right.
for ransom. Right. Meaning that the person he did like violate the laws and now he's in jail. Does he have a din in Pidyon Shvuyim? So that's an interesting question. If you ask anybody in jail, that's all they talk about is Pidyon Shvuyim. But I don't have an answer for you with that. Okay, let me just let me end the recording. Let me find the place here.